Thank you. My name is Keith and I'm a recovered alcoholic. My sobriety date is the 22nd of May 2000, and for the grace of God and working for the 12 steps of the AA program, I've not found it necessary to take a drink for quite a long time. But saying that, I want to welcome the newcomers. When the newcomers come to the meeting, they're the most important people here, because it's important for me to remember where I came from and what it was like, and the pain and suffering I had to try and get sober. And when we finally make a decision to get sober and we seek escape with the desperation of drowning men, because alcoholism will kill us. And I think we're on week six now of this step program that we're going to go through. And today we're going to get to step six and seven, but I just want to just recap just a couple of things from the last couple of weeks. We wrote out our step four, that pesky old step four about my resentments, my fears, my sex conduct. It's about how I was in the past. And I wrote down all this and got this on paper, and I presented it to my sponsor and to another person, God, right? And I never believed in God. That wasn't my thing. But I was willing to do anything. I was willing to go to any length to get that spiritual experience, to get the freedom from the bondage of self and get recovered from alcoholism. And when I talk about being recovered, what that means is I found the power on act, because I couldn't stop on my own power. All the times that I tried to stop drinking, I could not stop on my own power. So I come to AA and they had a solution that was proven to work, and I followed the 12 steps, and here we are today, you know. And I believe that God works in mysterious ways. I believe that every single one of us was going to be on this meeting tonight or today or wherever you are in the world. We was always ever going to be it. Doesn't matter what turning you took in your life, you was always going to be here tonight. So I presented my step four to my sponsor, and we sat down for this long talk on our step, on my step five of my whole life, what I'd become, the person I'd become, my attitude, my behaviors, my resentments, my fears, how I'd affected other people. And I had to remember before I read this out to my sponsor, I could not see the truth in what Keith was like. I could not see the truth in my makeup. I could not see my wrongs or my mistakes. So when I got them on paper in black and white, I had no choice but to see the truth. And I had a guy that was sitting opposite me telling me what an arsehole I was, telling me what an idiot I'd been, how I'd been disgustingly rude and antisocial and inconsiderate and selfish and dishonest. And I read this stuff out to him. And over the space of a few hours, he just sat there. And when I sponsor people the same way, I've got two bits of paper. One has got six written on it, and one has got nine on it. And on that number six, I'm going to write out your defects. And this guy sat there and he started writing about my defects. And I thought, how dare he? I didn't think I was that bad. I couldn't see I was that wrong. If I'm honest, when I read out my resentments, I didn't think I was that bad. Until he started pointing out, what did you do, Keith? What mistakes did you make? Where was you at fault? Where was your part in it? And finally, after I'd read out some of my resentments, I could see where I was wrong. I got empathy for the other person that I'd affected. I could see the resentment from an entirely different angle. And then I could see I was selfish, and I could see I was self-centered, and I could see I was inconsiderate, dishonest, and a liar, and a thief, and a cheat. And let me tell you, when he'd done my list of defects, that was as long as my arm. I never believed it. He wrote all these defects out and who I needed to make amends to. And I went through my resentments. I went through all the fears that I'd had, and fear comes in three parts: the fear of the past, people catching up with me, the police or institutions, fear of not getting what I feel I deserve, because I always thought I was better than everybody else. I didn't realize I had this pride of a lion and this ego that you couldn't crush. And I had this sex conduct issue, you know, how I dealt with people, how I affected my ex-wife and people around me. How did I harm them? What did I do and what should I have done? And the guy sat there and I'd read this out, and he was quite calmly writing down what I was like. And as we went through, he interrupted me and he explained to me, Keith, this is, look at this. Let's look at this from a different angle. What if it was you and the resentment was presented against you? Well, how would you feel? And I could see it. So we got to the end of it and we're sitting down and I'm going to just read something from the book, because this is what he told me to do. He says on the bottom of page 75, the last paragraph is it's the preparation, the guidelines for step six. And it says, returning home, we'll find a place where we can be quiet for an hour. Because I need to reflect what I've shared with this guy. I need to reflect on what the position I put myself in. And remember, I came to AA with no trust. And finally, I'm trusting the guy to tell him all my sordid past or the things that I've done in my past, and to reveal what I'm really like. The mask had come off and I'd been a different, I'd been honest, because I was dying of untreated alcoholism. It was going to kill me. It says, carefully reviewing what we had done, and we thank God from the bottom of our heart that we know him better, because now I'm unblocking. I'm unblocking God, because God or the powers within each and every man, woman, and child, that little voice inside says, don't do it. And I do it, and it goes wrong, and I go, oh, shit, I shouldn't have done it. I knew I shouldn't have done it, but it's too late. Because when I run on my own self-will, my own self-thinking, that's what happens. It goes wrong. It says, taking down this book from our shelf, we turn to the page which contains the 12 steps. Carefully reading the first five proposals, we ask if we had omitted anything for building an arch for which we will walk a free man at last. And what does that mean? What are the first five proposals? Do I understand what an alcoholic is? Do I understand where alcoholism took me, how it affected me, the people around me, the wife, the kids, the finances, the home, the workplace? Do I really understand the condition that I've got, that if I don't treat, it's going to kill me? Now, I'm sitting there after reading my step five back to this guy, and I'm having to look back through these 12 steps. What does it mean to be powerless? Do you understand what it is to be powerless and unmanageable? And I did, because for 60 pages in the book, it smashes home why we're like that, the condition we've got. And we can't do nothing about it on our own power, which is why we're all on Zoom tonight. And we all come to AA because we can't solve the problem on our own. 100%. We can't solve it. I understood I'm alcoholic. I understood that I can't drink safely. I understood that it's going to kill me. And then I looked at the other proposal. He comes to step two and he told me, Keith, there's a solution. Follow the path laid out by the early members. Like all the sober members on the Zoom tonight, with the smiley faces that I see that have found the solution, that live that life of freedom. Everyone's laughing. It's great, isn't it? And I see that in other people. And I wanted a piece of that pie. I wanted to feel like that and look like that and be complete and not have to worry and not have to sneak around drinking and being deceitful and conniving and selfish. And the defects came. Let me tell you, I had every defect God ever invented. I had them all, every single one, right? And I knew there was a solution because I saw it in other people. I saw it work in other people. And I've got to step three to make a decision. The third proposal, let's make a decision, Keith. You in or out? Let's do or die. And I say to my sponsors, it's like the Nike advert. You just do it. There's no half measures. There's no cutting corners and walking and thinking you have an easier, softer way, because the result is nil. And this you are 100% committed to find that life beyond the wildest dream. Find the solution. Find the power that we lack. And I made that decision. I had to get on my knees and I say, I had to pray to something I'd never understood. I had to pray to a God that I didn't believe in. But finally, I got to a point. I surrendered. I abandoned myself to something greater than me that eventually solved my problem. And I got to that pesky step four and I wrote down all that stuff about my past, the sordid details, fearless and thorough from the very start. I put it on paper and I shared it with this guy. And he told me what an idiot I'd been, what a cock I'd been, what, you know, let me tell you, he used some choice words with the stuff that I'd been getting up to. And I went home and I reflected for this hour and I sat down and I reflected what I'd done. And I'm preparing myself now to be willing. Am I willing to change? Am I really ready to let go of the person I've become? And then it asked me these questions. It says, Keith, is your work solid so far? Do I really understand? Am I really ready and willing? It then asked me another question. Are the stones properly in place? Do you understand the steps? Have you been fearless and thorough? Have you made that decision with your hand on your heart and you committed to something you don't understand and something you don't believe in? It says, have we skimped on the cement and put into the foundation? The page 58 gives us that. As some of these we bought, we thought we could find an easier, softer way. Because my mind, as a sick alcoholic, knows best. I don't really need to do a step four and I don't really need to do a step six. And I haven't really got to make all my amends and I haven't got to do these defects. I can find an easier, softer way. And the result is nil. Until I let go, absolutely. And when Bill wrote absolutely in the book, it means you're either in or you're out. We either do or we don't. We either live or we die. For us to drink is to die. And I didn't want to die, which is why I've come here to do this. He says that we tried to put mortar without sand. And we skimped, right? And on page 76, the top says, if we can answer this question to our satisfaction, we look at step six. Now I'm looking at my defects. Am I really ready to let them go? Do I want to keep a little bit of that anger? or a little bit of that jealousy, because I'm quite comfortable with that. And what I've realized in my life before I got to this point in my program, when the program was, I can suffer pain and trauma because I have a coping mechanism as an active alcoholic to get by, to brush it to one side, to live with the resentment, to live with the fear, to live with my selfish self-centeredness. I might affect other people in my lives, but we've got a coping mechanism. We're tough people. We can get by. We don't have to give it all in. And that's what I thought. And I finally come to a realization, you know, when I read page 58, it tells me, results nil, Keith. Until you let go absolutely of your anger, of your jealousy, of your self-centeredness, of your selfishness, of your inconsiderate nature, your pride, your ego, your... Let me tell you, there was tons of it. Tons of it. And I felt naked because suddenly I revealed myself to another person all about that little boy inside of me who was full of fear, who didn't know what way to turn. And I said at the beginning when I started this program that I started with belief because I could see it in other people. And I didn't realize the path that they took, what they'd gone through to get that sense of satisfaction, that freedom. And they too had to commit themselves. They too had to become vulnerable and full of fear. And when I fully trusted this guy with all of my secrets, all of my life story, something shifted. Because I started to have a spiritual experience after step 5. And what that spiritual experience is at that point is I get a comfortable, warm inside, feeling inside that it's going to be all right. Let it go. And when I let it go, it means I get busy. I let go of my defects by getting onto step 7. I let go of my defects by going through 8 through to 12. Am I willing to do the work? And it asks us that question. It says, we have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. I can't do without it. I can't do without it. I need to be willing to go to any lengths to get a spiritual experience. Willing to change. You know, look, with willingness, we have to have willingness, whatever we do in our lives, we're getting up, we're making a cup of tea, we're going to work, we're meeting a wife, we're playing with a kid. Everything is about the willingness, the desire to do it. Are you ready, really ready to change? Are you really ready to let this go, to change, to be a better person? And I read Appendix 2 at this point in the back of the book, and it spoke about that personality change to bring about recovery. And I didn't understand that because the personality that I had when I got sober was I was just full of self-centeredness. As a young boy growing up, I was a really young boy. I was quite polite, quite kind, quite considerate. And I got to 13, 14, I became a bastard of life. I stole, I lied, I cheated, I thieved. And that became my personality for the next 25 years. That's what I was rotten to the core. And I get to 39 years old, I'm going through a program of action. I get to step 6 and they're saying to me, Keith, now you've got to change back. You've got to let go of what you'd become and go back to what you should have been. Are you willing to do it? Are you ready and willing to let go? It says, are we now ready to let God remove from us all things that we admitted are objectionable? And what does that mean? The things that are objectionable are my defects, my mistakes, my wrongs, the things that I've done to people in the past. I can't hold on to the resentments. When I've seen the truth in the resentment and I've let it go, now it's time to change. Now it's time to put a closure on that chapter and move on. It then says, can we now let him take them, every one? And I underlined it in the book with a question mark. Every single defect. I can't hold on to my anger or my jealousy or my fear. It's time to change. Are you in or you're out? Are you willing or you're not? Is it half measures or are you going to balk? Is the result nil until we let go? Absolutely. What are you going to do? There's a question, Keith. Are you willing? I said to my sponsor, Steve, I'm willing. I'm willing to go to any lengths. It was agreed at the beginning. I didn't come to AA. Let me tell you, and I've said this last week, this wasn't on my bucket list, to come to AA and go through the big book and go through the steps and change to be a better person. That wasn't on it. But what I'd done, I'd become an alcoholic, an active alcoholic. It was killing myself from inside out. And time's got to change. Something's got to give. Something's got to shift. I didn't want to die. So I'm willing to do the work. It says, if we still cling on to something and we will not go, we ask God to help us be willing. It wasn't difficult because I was dying. And when I got to that point in my life, I made that decision. And that was step six. Step six is the preparation and the willingness to look back at what I'd become, the person that I'd had, the defects. When he gave me this list of defects, I was shocked because I actually thought I wasn't that bad. I was a little bit angry and I was a little bit of a thief and I was a little bit inconsiderate. But when he showed me these list of defects, I nearly fell off the chair because there was loads of it and it made sense and I could see it. And I got to step seven. And step seven is a prayer. I'm going to read step seven. It says, when ready, we say something like this. My creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. God just doesn't want the bad stuff. Let me tell you. When I commit and I abandon myself to a God or to a power, it's all of me. Why would he just want the bad? Have a load of bad apples in the basket. He wouldn't want that, would he, right? He said, I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. I can't let my defects go. I cannot change on my own power. I'm not working on myself. The program of AA is not a self-help program. It's a program where God can do for me what I cannot do for myself. And I couldn't change on my own power. I couldn't stop on my own power. And I got to a point where I had to abandon myself to find the power that could do it for me, which stands in my way of my usefulness to you, my fellows. And he says, grant me the strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. And what's God's bidding? What's God's work? Because when it's Keith's will and Keith's work, I'm going to rob and I'm going to steal and I'm going to cause as much chaos and carnage in my life. And it's all about money and it's all about the booze and it's all about me, me, me. When I'm doing God's work, I'm doing God's bidding, what am I doing? I'm carrying a message of hope. There's a solution. We have a way out. We have an answer. When I get to step seven, and I said that step seven prayer, the most final part of that step seven prayer is, I am now responsible because I now know the person I was and the person I've become, I am now responsible. I cannot blame Brad and I cannot blame Sharon and I can't blame anybody else. Because I'm now solely responsible. When I get my fear and my anger come up, I ask God at once to remove it because I can't do it. And I used to think in my early days when I used to think dishonest, I'll be honest. And I couldn't do that. And let me tell you a quick story. A long time ago, I went into a warehouse to buy some buckets for work, construction buckets. When I went and bought this bucket, there was two slipped inside the other. So I was going to get three for one. So I went to the checkout and the guy scanned it. He charged me for one bucket and I took this one bucket and I paid £4 or £5 for it. Got to my van and you know what happened? The conscience kicked in. The shame and the guilt and I'm thinking I'm going to steal and I'm going to sell my sobriety for £4. I'd worked hard to get where I was in my life and suddenly thinking I'd got one over on this shop to steal these buckets that he didn't really notice, I noticed, I realized, now I'm starting to realize I've had a personality change. Now I start to realize there's a shift inside of me that's indescribably wonderful. And I went back in and I said to the guy, there was a mistake. There was two more buckets in the bucket. He said, don't worry, you can have them. I paid for them because I am not going to sell my sobriety for £5. And this has not happened just once. It's happened numerous times over my sobriety. Everything I do in step seven is about change. When I get to step seven, it says at the end of that reading, it's now completed. I don't go back. I don't go back on my defects, back on what the person I was. I'm now a result of what I am. I know what I've got to do. And when these things crop up, because they will do, I ask God at once to remove them. The simplicity of step seven is it works if I apply the right attitude. And I keep close to the God of my understanding.
2 minutes, Keith. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I do step six and seven with a lot of people. They call them the forgotten steps. They're only on two short pages. There's very short paragraphs of what the step work is about. Step six is just about being willing to do it. Step seven is we say the prayer. We let it go. And then God takes over. The power takes over. Every step I take, I become more closer to God or to the power. And I say many times at meetings, let me tell you, I don't believe, I'm not a God of the cross guy. That's not what I'm about. I just know there's a power out there that's working through me that I never thought I could find. And on page 55 of the big book, it says, actually, we were fooling ourselves. For every man, woman, or child, deep down is the fundamental idea of God. And that is blocked by my resentments, my fears, and my sex conduct and my defects. And when I deal with this stuff and I let this stuff go and I share it with another person, the voice inside of my head gives me the right directions. I'm not having confusion. I'm not in conflict with people. I live a day at a time, and it's really simple. And for that, I'm truly grateful. Thank you.